Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 321 on March 24th. And I want to apologize first if my throat and voice seem a little scratchy. We went to a dinner theater last night. We had a ball. Well, we talked all night long.
We
talked up about the theater all night long on our way home. So,
well, and we had some hot and spicy food. And
yeah.
Didn't realize exactly how
hot and spicy
it might have gotten, and we had some spicy friends.
Uh-huh.
It was fun.
I was Conica Gothica.
I was Steve Peek.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Peek,
an attorney, right?
And as it turns out, I didn't know it, but I'm not going to say anything.
No. The mystery will remain
a mystery
for future people who may want to enjoy that same theater.
All right.
But anyway, let's jump on in to get our guest in here with us.
Well, who's our guest?
It's Thaddeus Freed. And Don, you want to read a little bit about him before
we Thaddeus
start?
Is a candidate running for the Salem City Council in the upcoming election April 2nd. Thad believes that his bold leadership style and unique views will be an asset to the community. Growing up in other regions of the state, Thad sees Salem as a place that is ripe with potential. His hope is to ease the burden of some zoning restrictions, enticing new business into the area, and he will be discussing his views now. Tell me, Thad.
First, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We've had you on before.
Yes.
So you're not a first-time guest, so you know how this works here. And,
sure.
And we're all pretty like-minded when it comes to our philosophies and beliefs, so it's
right.
Nice to have you join us. But anyway, Don was starting to say something before I jumped right in. So back to you, Don.
You know, I'm just going to be the devil's advocate here and go, my goodness, we're in the state of Illinois. And I know we've talked about this earlier. The state of Illinois is in such financial, it's a mess. And here we are trying to whack-a-mole with everything that goes on in this state. Is Salem in such a condition, or do you see a bright hope in the future? Is it the diamond in the proverbial tail end?
I absolutely believe that it's got a very bright future. The city of Salem has had some very good money management skills as of late, and I know that I'm technically running against them, but I would not fault anybody on the council currently in that regard. They've been very fiscally minded, and they've done very well. They just went over the fiscal year 19 budget and are looking to close the year in the black, far enough so that they are talking about moving some projects that had been slated for 2020 up to 2019 so that they can offset some of those costs, because there will be a surplus this year.
Well,
so,
that's cool.
Yeah,
for a small town, a small
Indeed.
City.
Indeed.
It's and you know, I grew up in Centralia, next door, kissing cousins to Salem in that regard. And you know, Salem High School is always the rival school.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We as orphans, we had our battles with the Wildcats. So.
Just think of that, Wildcats versus Orphans. You'd think that would almost go without saying who would win that.
The Wildcats or the Orphans?
The Wildcats.
That's like Lions won. No.
Depends on how wild the Orphans are. So
yeah,
anyway.
It's good to hear that is coming out of Salem, and I'm glad that you're wanting to be a part of that.
I am, very much so. As you said, I've grown up in Central Illinois, moved down to Carbondale. I've been all over the place, really, and I've seen a lot of different areas of the state, and there are very few that are doing as well as Salem is, and that's pretty amazing. The state is, like you said, it's in a mess financially, but Salem has really stayed the course, and they are a shining example of what should be happening.
Well, you know, we travel around when we deliver the Owl Creek Gazette, and we get to see those towns that do have thriving businesses, or you can feel a community in a town. And Salem is one of those communities. When we go to, there's always some place to stop and shop. There's always some place to get a good meal. So that's nice to see. And then you want to bring your input into what is currently going on and make it better, ideally.
Ideally, yes. I believe that there is a very unique opportunity that Salem has, given their financial history, and going to businesses and saying, look, this is a stable region of the state. And we are, geographically speaking, located in the middle of several other population areas of the state. So one of my things is I would love to see more entertainment venues be attracted to Salem. Things that give people something to go do to entertain them and their families, other than just sitting around or, you know, going to another bar. Not that I don't mind going to the bars. I have...
Mm-hmm. They'll have their place.
Right.
But there needs to be something above and beyond,
sure,
is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we could be pulling in business from the surrounding area as well, because there's none of that in the area at all. We all sit around going, well, what can we do this weekend? Nothing, really. We'll go to the bar again.
Well, and we've been talking about that, too, the idea of... There's so much you can purchase online these days. Mm-hmm. There's so many ways to get something to you other than going to the store downtown. But communities need people to go to the store downtown, and mom-and-pop mm-hmm. shops need customers. So if you can make something an experience, is what you're talking about, that experience is what will draw people out.
Right.
Because they can't have an experience online like they can in person.
Sure.
And finding whatever entertainment there is there to enjoy.
So, whenever you're talking about your candidacy, what are some of the goals that you have to establish? To, you know, if you were to become a sitting councilman, what would you like to see as, say, one of your stellar things to do as a councilman? What do you want to get passed in the city of Salem?
Well, to start with, as I said, I'd like to see the city make it a little easier to open various kinds of businesses, particularly, like I said, the entertainment things.
Mm-hmm.
That would require working a lot with the Chamber of Commerce as well, and then actually attracting these businesses and giving them a good reason to be there, because Illinois can be a hard sell. I'm not going to deny that, of
mm-hmm.
course. Something maybe that would be a little more immediate might be, I would really like to see the city council meetings begin to be broadcast as they're happening, live stream them, so that if somebody wants to participate in so much as, you know, paying attention to the meetings, seeing what's going on, they don't have to come to city council. They could, you know, in this day and age, you can pull it up on your phone if you're out somewhere or if your family having dinner, but you want to see what's going on at the city council meeting that Monday evening.
Or you're a young family and you've got little kids at home and, you know, you want to be involved in your community, but you just can't leave them and you just
sure.
can't take them.
Sure.
So, you know, that's something they can
yeah.
watch online.
A city council meeting is not the place for the young family to be.
No, it's not. No. But they still need to know what's happening in their community, and that
right.
would be a good way to do that.
And, I think that's a great idea.
And, yeah, and given the level of technology that we have today, it isn't too hard to do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd really like to see that happen. It makes it more accessible. It provides more transparency because everybody can see what you're doing. There's a, you know, if you live stream and upload it to YouTube, it'll stay there. So there'll be a permanent video record of things that have happened. And
oh, that's nice, too, to have a video record
right.
of something.
Yeah. Well, we have some of that going on in Greenville as it is now, mm-hmm. and it's not live streamed, but it is at least available to the cable subscribers here
sure.
in town, and that's commendable to get that out there. Accessibility and transparency—that's what you mentioned. And are there any other transparent methods by which you think you could, you know, maybe throw some inroads in Salem?
Well, obviously, being a libertarian, I'm very fond of anything that is taking what government's doing and bringing it to the surface, making it so that anybody, not just somebody who knows how to file the right paperwork or knows where to look, can go find where the city's spending its money, what they're spending on, who's actually getting the checks, who's getting what money. And it's not – I really honestly don't believe there's some sort of foul play going on or that anybody mm-hmm. needs to be outed, but it just – I don't want to say eliminates, because surely somebody could probably find a way to, but it lessens the likelihood of abuses.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And now we don't have that problem, but who knows what we have 10, 20 years in the future.
Well, it's almost forced accountability. You know, and so someone who's really doing their job well will want that.
Right.
They want to be able to go back to that record and say, look, this is how I behaved during my time there. But it's also, like you said, a great way to keep people on their toes. Sure. Honest.
Well, honesty is what? The best policy, right?
It is.
Well, and sometimes the chicken comes home to roost when you're not honest, and you will be found out. There's just no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to take a little break here and check in with Tim Lindley, who's going to be doing some really cool stuff at the Earth Day, the Owl Creek Way celebration in April.
Hi, I'm Tim Lindley from BT's Honeybee Farm, inviting everyone to come out to the Earth Day, the Owl Creek Way, out of Patriots Park on April 14th from 11 to 5. I'll have a live observation hive there with me, and I'll be selling honey, creamed honey, honey sticks, and the like. And I'll also have starter hives with me, and we'll be giving a presentation on how to raise your own queen bees from 12 to 12:25. So come on and see us.
And we're back. So, Thad, tell me, you mentioned something earlier, too, about being a libertarian. Is it a being a libertarian or having a libertarian philosophy? What do you mean by that?
Well, for me, it is both, but it started with having a libertarian philosophy in that holding sacred the personal freedoms. You know, those are the first and foremost that you need. Trying to describe this in a way that, you know, maybe you can't go and read on the website, because I could just spout off the same thing, but I'm trying to maybe think of a way to might resonate with something that isn't something they normally hear.
Mm-hmm.
We say it all the time that the individual is the smallest minority, and that's what really needs protecting, is the individual freedoms from abuses of government, from abuses from powerful corporations, or maybe just your neighbor, but your personal freedoms, your possession of property. If it's yours, it's yours. It's not somebody else's. And that sense of individual freedom, individual liberty, led me to the Libertarian Party. Initially, it was seeing Ron Paul in a documentary and going and finding out more about who this man was that led me through that. But before I knew anything about the Libertarian Party or any of that, I had that sense that, well, if this is mine or this is my life, then it's not anybody else's place to tell me what I should do with it, as long as I'm not actually hurting anybody. And then that comes into play with our party's core belief, the non-aggression principle, you know, do not initiate force or fraud for personal or political gains. And then, like I always like to say, if you really need to distill it down into something maybe oversimplified, but it's a very easy sentence to get out, you know, don't hurt people. Don't take their stuff.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good explanation. And, you know, there's always somebody out there that is certain that they know what's better for you than you do. Is that what you've seen?
Oh, without a doubt. There's always I've never not been somewhere that I couldn't be a few feet away from somebody that could tell me how to live my life better than I knew. There's a lot of that.
And they have no idea that that's what they're doing when they do it.
I don't think so. I think most of them have no concept of that's how it looks to somebody like you or me, or, you know.
Or to watch it from the outside.
Right.
Yeah, to watch it from the outside. They've never thought about that, to turn the mirror and look at yourself. So we've also heard, you know, that we're a democratic society. Well, wait a minute. Think about that for just a minute. And sure, we have some things about us that are rooted in the democratic process, but that's as far as it goes, because we don't live in a democracy.
No, we
thank
live
goodness.
In a republic.
Mm-hmm. We live in a republic, right. And a democracy was defined for us many years ago as the result of two wolves and one sheep making dinner plans. So, and that was as simple as it needed to get. And so we're not a democracy. We use democratic process, but we are not a democracy. We're a republic. And that is the stark divide between the concept of thinking like a libertarian or thinking like a Republican or a Democrat or a Whig or a socialist.
Oh.
which is what's happening now with our social structure that we have are shooting ourselves in the foot with. Mm-hmm. How are we going to in the future, for example, how are we going to combat socialism, which is becoming rampant? What can, as a city council member, can you do to make sure that the libertarian philosophy then is transferred toward the way to live?
Well, do you want a hopeful answer, or do you want...
Yes, let's start with hopeful and move to reality later.
Well, hopefully, by attracting new businesses. I'm not saying the city council is going to go out and get new business, because that's not what this is about. But finding out what would make Salem a more attractive destination for someone to open up a new business, and making changes that make it, you know, more attractive to new businesses.
And there's even some communities where they limit the business to what the signage they can have, mm-hmm. and how tall it can be, and, you know, all those little tiny things that can really be problematic when you start to open a business.
Right.
So that's what you're saying.
Find where there are obstacles that mm-hmm. we're making people jump through these hoops, and reexamine, why do we make them jump through those hoops? What benefit does anybody gain from them? And if you can't come up with a good answer to that question, then that just needs to go immediately. Whatever mm-hmm. that rule is, whatever it is. Because, you know, there can be several between zoning restrictions. Oh, you can't have this kind of business in this block because reasons. Whatever, you know.
Because we've always done it that way.
Right. Most of the time, I think that's going to be what uh-huh. it's going to be, too. Or, you know, various kinds of types of businesses being looked down on just because they aren't necessarily in agreement with how somebody wants to personally live their life.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to people injecting their personal philosophies into a public sector and saying everybody needs to behave this way because that's the way that I feel everybody should behave.
Right. My morality should be your morality because I say so.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of city level decisions come from that kind of place where mm-hmm. we do this because that's the way I was taught to do it. And that's the way my parents were taught to do it, and that's the way their parents were taught to do it. And sometimes there's a good reason for that.
Right. If upon examination you see that that still has benefit, then that's
sure.
Yeah, the reality of that.
But I feel like we need to be examining those, you know, zoning restrictions and the various things within the city code that apply to you have to manage your business this way, you have to run it this way. Why? I think that's the most important question that any citizen can ask its government is why.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it's about, just why.
Because I said so is never the answer either.
Yeah, and if that's the answer, then you need to tell your representative, that's not a good answer, come up with a better one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just want to see people able to do what they want to do. And I believe that giving people that kind of freedom, that kind of liberty, will only lead to better things.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you can do what you're wanting to do, you put more into it. You're more invested in it. And that will show. So
that's the hopeful answer.
That's the hopeful answer.
Okay, now.
because it'll bring more business and capitalism into the city mm-hmm. and everything. Realistically, when I look around, particularly on social media, when I see people my age and younger who use it prolifically, there is this seeming, anyway, sense that they've forgotten entirely that socialism never works. We have watched in the last few years Venezuela fall apart mm-hmm. under socialism. And I just read the other day, was it Finland or somewhere, that basically the entire top tier of their government, like, you know, it'd be our president and senior members of Congress and such, are resigning because the socialist policies that they've been implementing and running have now bankrupt the country. And this is not Venezuela. This is not some place that people tend to think of as like kind of a third world type place. This is a European country that has been fairly economically involved, particularly in the EU and everything. So it's one of these things, despite overwhelming evidence, like every time you can point to it, and it just fails miserably and ends horribly.
And there have been reports we've seen about how Scandinavian countries, for example, had always been socialist. And we, Jan and I, sat down and looked at, you know, at everything we could find. And sure enough, they had dealt and played with socialism for a time and then saw how failed it was mm-hmm. and had started bailing out on it mm-hmm. years back and have not been socialist countries for 10, 12 years or so now. And knew that those policies were wrong, and they got out. So Sweden has seen the light, as it were,
mm-hmm.
and you can't quote Sweden as being a socialist country anymore. They are not. They are absolutely not. And it doesn't mean that they don't have decent social solutions to some of the problems that they've got because of where they are.
But they saw the benefit in the free market.
Right.
They and that's did. What they we all that benefit. Understand, mm-hmm. yeah, which is so vital for any community, any state. But back to the individual, and I like the way you say it, that the individual is the smallest minority. If you are in support of minorities, folks, you have to be support of the individual. And that's what the first time I ever heard that said was years ago, and I went, wow, because that's a powerful realization.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know what the answer is. Because it does seem to be I'm going to call it a problem because I abhor socialism. Mm-hmm. That, like I said, people about my age and particularly getting younger, they seem to think that socialism will work if the United States does it. And it's like, okay, wait, I don't know what about our federal government when you look at it makes you think that they can run anything. But what about, and you know, name off however many dozens of countries you can come up with that have tried various socialist structures and things over the past, and every one of them has failed. Mm-hmm. There isn't an example of one that has worked. And somebody once, I did that, and somebody, well, what about China? And I was like, China's more capitalist than we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because, same thing like you were saying with these Scandinavian countries, for a long time they ran with the USSR model, and then they started to see the benefit of a free market. And not saying that China's perfect. They've got plenty of problems.
Right.
But they are getting
and they're communist.
Right.
They are communist. They're not socialist. And that's another large difference that most people don't realize. They're not socialist by any stretch. If they were socialist, they'd have at least free expression.
Hmm.
And you don't have that in a communist society.
Right. But they've started transitioning more and more of their economies into more of a capitalist kind of nature. And that's why you see China growing at the rate that it is.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, it doesn't seem like they have learned, because I won't, as much as I like capitalism and I will, you know, tout its benefits, I won't claim that it doesn't have its pitfalls that, you know.
Well, we have the biggest pitfall of all is the crony capitalism that people are more familiar with than true capitalism.
And it's one of those things that you can get that when not enough people are paying attention. It's sort of like, I guess it'd be kind of like if you owned a dog. You can train a dog to behave properly, or you can just let it run wild and do as it will, which is going to cause problems most likely, particularly if you live in a populated area. You know, we have to pay attention to what our government's doing and who they're getting in bed with, so to speak. And when we're not doing that, when the people are not watching our government, the aspect of greed, which will drive that entrepreneurial capitalist kind of spirit, you know, to obtain more or better than what you have, it can go unchecked. And some people can check their own greed, some people can't. And the people that can't, if they start to accumulate a lot of money, a lot of power, they might tend to abuse that power.
It's because absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Yep.
Well, and like we were saying crony capitalism, that is big government in bed with big business. Sure. And that's when big business is really dangerous, when they've got the eye and the ear of the government. Mm-hmm. And somebody's in somebody's pocket.
And it's on our shoulders as citizens to be mindful of that and mm-hmm. to watch our representatives who we elect and make sure that they are representing our interests and not the interests of a large corporation.
There you go. And most people think that we are supposed to keep our thumbs on those large corporations to make sure that they don't do X, Y, and Z by regulation. But in a free society, you don't have to do that because they should be able to regulate themselves. And when they don't, the safeguards is where what needs to kick in. And I think that's the best of all worlds. Anyhow, we have had, another question?
Yeah, I want to pull this back into, we've talked kind of locally and we've talked kind of state and then just the philosophical aspects of government in general and how we prefer the free market over socialism. Let's bring it back to Salem. Okay. And what brought you to Salem and what has you staying there? And tell us a little bit about you and the community.
Well, in 2012, at the time we were just dating, but now my wife and I, we had basically part-time jobs at a fast food restaurant, and I want to say we were barely getting by, but really it was quite a struggle. We made next to nothing. We needed a better source of income, better jobs. Her mother works at the same place that we both work now, so she knew that it was a good paying job, good source of income. It was a good job to have. And so we drove up here one weekend.
So you're down Southern Illinois?
Carbondale. Carbondale at this time. We drove up to Salem and basically applied. And actually, I started that Monday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'd put in 2 weeks notice at the fast food restaurant and then had to turn around and say, I'm sorry, but...
Leaving tomorrow.
I'm leaving because this is a much better job opportunity. So yeah, that was in 2012. Initially, because it happened so fast, we ended up moving in with her parents in Kinmundy from mid-February to the beginning of December. And in the beginning of December, we found a house that we rented, and actually we are still renting. Like our landlord.
That's a good thing.
Well, that's the thing, is you find something that you can afford and you stick with it.
Right. And yeah, it's one of those things we talk about all the time, that if we could pick Salem up and move it to a better state, a state that was better ran, we would love it. We do like Salem. We think it's a good place to live. And we want to see it grow. We want to see it do better. We want to see it sort of shake off the yoke of, you know, this overbearing, overburdening, poorly ran state. I've sort of latched onto this idea that we've all heard Southern Illinois referred to as Little Egypt, and I've actually found out that not a lot of people know the story of that. They've heard it, but they're like, I don't really know why. And it has to do with, it was a bit over 200 years ago now, there was a severe drought, northern and central Illinois, but Southern Illinois' crops did well, and so the northern part of the state was coming down a lot to buy food and grain, things for the livestock and such. And it paralleled the biblical story of Israel going to Egypt in time of famine. And so people, you know, that's how it got the nickname. And Salem in particular, because of its location on roads at the time. At the time, it wasn't Salem yet. It was basically a trading post stop. Mm-hmm. But it became known as the gateway to Little Egypt. And I look at that now and I see a lot of parallels in that story now, or to what's going on now financially, where Salem financially is healthy and they're doing it right. And, you know, like I said, I know when you're running against people in an election, you're not really supposed to be saying how great they are, but I'm not going to fault the sitting members of the council. They've done a phenomenal job given the condition of the rest of the state. I think that can be a model to everybody else to follow. Like, look, everything that we're saying about fiscal responsibility, this is why we say it works, because, you know, it does.
And then your campaign, you can take that one step farther, like you say, with stopping restrictions that would bring in more people to find a home and a career and a business.
Exactly. And that's what I want to do. That's why I have stayed there. My wife and I were talking the other day about how the skills that I have learned at the job that I have now, I can take pretty much anywhere. It's a very common industry, and I now have realized that I've become what you would consider like a skilled laborer, and as long as I'm willing to work in the same field, I can get a job anywhere for the rest of my life. So I don't have that worry as much anymore, but like I said, we both like Salem. I think we can really grow and become an example for the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, remind everybody when the election is.
April 2nd. So
that's a Tuesday.
That's a Tuesday.
Because that's when we always vote, is Tuesdays. So that's just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Thad, do you have any public appearances or candidates forums you're going to be involved in before the election?
Salem is holding a candidates forum hosted by WJBD at the Salem Community Theater this coming Wednesday, March 27th at 7 p.m. You'll get to hear from me and the other three individuals running for the full four-year terms, and then the two-year unexpired term candidates, as well as our mayoral candidate.
Do you have a campaign staff that's been working with you?
Yes, I do actually have a manager, and I have a person who's been working some policy things with me, and somebody that designed artwork, like if you see anything on the website and stuff. So I do have it's a small team, but I do have a small team that have worked with me. I appreciate all the work that they've done.
Nobody knows what goes on behind the scenes if they've never been a campaign, anything from city council all the way up. There's people that are right there working hand in hand with you, and like you said, you want to thank them. So,
do you have a website you need to share with us?
Yeah, my website, thaddeusfreed.com, thaddeusfreed, and then Freed for Illinois on Facebook, either one of those, if you want to go check it out. Message me. I promise I will respond to you.
And this is anyone who's picked up the copy of the March-April issue of the Owl Creek Gazette will find your ad in there. You've also been advertising on the podcast, so the voice they've been hearing has been you, and now they've put
it's even, a real voice.
It's a real voice with a real person.
Believe it or not.
So anyway, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck in the April 2nd election, and hopefully we'll have you back on as a sitting councilman.
Hopefully.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you very much.
Y'all take care now. Bye-bye.